I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official Leguizamo-rama spoiler warning. If you have not watched Netflix's Bloodline Season 2, Episode 8, and you don't want it spoiled, chances are we're not going to really spoil too much because I didn't know what was going on. Are you confused by that? Maybe. And if you are, listen through to the pod because you'll understand why I was confused. Shocking spoiler warning, but I'm happy to be back and bring in that bloody intro music, Tom.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamo-rama, a podcast where each week Mish and Zach, who need no introduction,
fuck oath,
watch something starring their favorite actor in the whole wide world, John Leguizamo. My name is Zachary Ruane. You might know me.
Oh no, I'm doing an introduction.
You might know me as
Your favorite person who goes by one name.
You might know me as my favorite person that goes by one name is probably...
There's heaps.
I know, I'm trying to think of...
Is it Bono?
No, well, see, this is... I would go Beyonce.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Zendaya's earned it yet. She's no Beyonce.
Zendaya is Zendaya.
You know? But I just watched a thing with Topol recently from If I Were a Rich Man. He played Galileo, but very similarly to that character. But I think I'm going to go Beyonce.
Okay.
No, Kylie.
Oh!
And not Jenna. She fucked it up for the real Kylie. To all our Australian listeners, you know which Kylie I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All our Australian and LGBT.
Let's make that.
It's the A. That's the clear. A in LGBTQIA is Australian in reference to Kylie Minogue. Mish, I'm joined as always by Mish Witchrup, who you might know as being the person who most likes this mononym star.
I had a long time to think as you were flapping about with your Zendayas and your fucking whatnots. Cher.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It would be Cher. I'm very, very confident in that.
I love Cher.
The reason I asked that is at the top you said we need no introduction. And I was like, imagine if...
We needed no introduction.
If you were just Zach. If you went to any country in the world and said, hey, what do you think of Zach? Yours is the face that pops up. Whereas if someone says to me, what do you think of Zach? Despite the fact that I have known you for like... a long time, right? I still would think of Zac Efron if someone said,
see, that's so funny because I was thinking of Quinto and Galifianakis.
Oh, no, I instantly think Zac Efron.
There are so many Zacs ahead of
and
me.
And do you know what I picture? I picture the cover of 17 Again.
Wow.
When I think of that's what, if someone says Zac, and I do a podcast with you. You're one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. I've known you since we were like babies, well, early 20s babies. Mm-hmm. And I still think of Zac Efron, no offense, although I have a feeling like I'd respect and understand if you were offended.
Nah, it's fine. You, by virtue of having a weird abbreviation of your name, could get there.
As Mish?
Mish could get there. Although there are people in our friendship group, we are friends with Michelle Brazier.
Yeah.
And there are people that call her Mish sometimes.
I hate it.
I could kill them.
Yeah, I hate that. And I've said to Braz before, I'm like, I hate it when people call you Mish. She goes, oh, do you? And I was really hoping she'd be like, oh, same. But she's not. Yeah, and it's like, can you fight for me?
You gotta buy in here, man. Yeah. You gotta step into this fight.
Yeah.
Because it's outrageous.
But also, I don't think this is a spoiler, and I think I can say this. Braz and I have been having chats about doing something together, like creatively.
Oh, announced here. No, get excited, everyone.
I'm not saying anything else beyond that. But there is this whole, like, how do we name it? Because there's two Michelles. But I'm not going to go by Michelle. I'm not Michelle. I'm Mish. Like, I don't, you know.
I'm Mish. I think that's fantastic that you've got the same name.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you're Mish and Michelle, you're Mish and Shell, two Mishes. There's, I don't know what the answer is, but I look at the sea of potential. Mm. Look at Daniels, the directing duo that did Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That's true.
They're both called Daniel, and they've gone with Daniels. That's great.
However, I didn't know this until way later in my life. So I've been going by Mish since like I was 12 or something, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I've been going by Mish. I never thought anything of it. It's like Mish, cool. I then went to university at Ballarat Arts Academy, and a guy that I was like wildly in love with told me that Mish is actually an abbreviation for what they call a Mish rat, which is someone who lives in a commission house.
I've never heard that in my life. Also, that's classist, so fuck that guy.
Well, yeah, true. But when he told me that, I was like...
I know who you're talking about. If you are listening, I'm sure you didn't mean... I'm sure you were just saying...
Oh, he was telling a friend, hey, you know, your name is short. Have you not heard of this before?
I'm sure you didn't mean... used it in a derogatory term, but I'm just trying to help out Mish here.
Yeah, no, 100%. But I hold no ill will. I don't think he meant anything bad by it. But ever since he said that, I was like, oh, he doesn't love me back. And also, I don't think I could ever own the name Mish because so many other people associated with other things.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
You make a sweet Mish, a sweet commission?
Commish?
Yeah.
I've heard commish.
Yeah, people shorten it even further and
I've never heard Mish.
I've made a sweet Mish. If someone said that to you, would you be like, why, what are you talking about?
I would go, I've talked to Mish sometimes. I've never made Mish.
Okay.
I would think of you. No, I've never heard Mish. I've heard Kamish.
Mm.
But I've only ever really heard that ironically.
Mm.
Man, people saying Kamish unironically are already the worst. I do not want to know someone saying Mish, a sweet Mish. Did you hear that? Have you heard that in your time?
People have told me that.
Mm,
because my name is Mish.
Yeah, it's coming up because your name is Mish.
Mm.
I've never heard it in any real context. I think you've got Mish.
Thanks.
If Kylie Jenner could steal Kylie from under Kylie Minogue's...
Do you think secretly... Kylie Minogue has ever said to anyone, that's kind of annoying.
What?
That Kylie Jenner took my name?
Not secretly, in the US courts.
Really?
Kylie Minogue tried to stop Kylie Jenner from starting a makeup line called Kylie.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
This isn't secret. This was like, she was like, I am Kylie. I am the mononym Kylie. I have been since the 80s. You can't take
Do you think
that
Kylie Jenner knew who Kylie Minogue was?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're appropriating everything else. Why not gay culture? Yeah. no, I'm sure she did, but I think she was like, my name is Kylie. I'm Kylie Jenner. I'll release a makeup line called Kylie. The thing is, Kylie is mononym in the UK and Australia. She's that famous, but she's never been that famous in the US. She's that's only true. Really just breaking through.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I have to say, though, I listened to...
She lost the court case. Kylie is a makeup brand.
Yeah. Kylie Minogue's song Did It Again. I've rediscovered that a couple of weeks ago, and I listen to it every day on my way to work. That song is so good.
I was listening to... that album.
Oh, it's such a good album.
Really, really cool. That revival disco kind of thing. And she's kind of, Padam, you know, a new song, Padam.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a fucking bop.
Yeah, it's great. And it's a real, like, it's a real testament to, like, evolving, keeping it fresh, but also not chasing.
Mm.
She's not trying to compete with, you know. kids. She's doing what she does. She's doing what she's done for the last 20 years, but she does it like a fucking...
100%. And she's so widely loved. And I think that there was this very certain pocket of people that were like, absolutely not. And then Nick Cave gave them permission to love her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like, nah, you can love her music. They're like, yeah, all right, but Amir's pretty sick.
I heard the other day I was on Instagram and someone took the song... Is it Blank Space? Yeah, Blank Space by Taylor.
T-Swift.
Yeah.
Mrs. Travis Kelce, if you will.
But T-Swift, they took it and they used AI to make it sound like it was Johnny Cash singing it.
Great.
And then they added music underneath it and it's genuinely like incredible. Like it sounds like a Johnny Cash song. Like I've heard a lot of AI changing, but this is one of the most impressive ones I've heard, right? But the stupidity of the comments that were like, it's amazing how real artists can take such silly lyrics and make them sound good. And it's like, one, he's dead. That's a computer doing that. Two.
One, he's dead.
He's
cunt.
Dead.
Cunt.
Two, the fact that you would, your first thing would be that, like the mental hula hoops you have to jump through.
Yeah.
Rather than go, oh, I didn't realize what I took it to be. What I took it to be is, and something I've been floating for a while, talking about it with my partner actually, is that Taylor Swift is a great country lyricist.
Yeah.
And when she does pop music, it can be a bit grating because she takes certain tropes from country lyrics. It's why when she did folk, it sounded a bit better when she went down that folk path because folk and country are kind of related. But when she does pop, sometimes her lyrics can sound a bit naff. But then by putting it back into country... Mm.
Yep.
The lyrics suddenly work. And also I think putting it into a kind of country that's simpler and less poppy. I think all of her, like modern country can be very cleanly produced and everything. But I love that rather than go, oh, her lyrics, maybe one, oh, her lyrics are better than I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look inward. Or two, oh, her lyrics work in this setting. Maybe the issue is she's not a great pop lyricist.
Yep.
No, they go... No, the spirit of Johnny Cash lives, the ghost in the shell.
The mere concept of him.
It's like, but it's genuinely amazing. I find it. It's so incredible.
I read a really interesting article. Really interesting is probably a stretch, but I read an article this morning. Yeah, this morning.
Wow.
fuck off. Go fuck yourself. I read a really interesting article this morning. There's this guy who his theory is because Taylor Swift literally just doesn't stop getting more famous. Like, it's just been this constant, like, especially in the last like 5 years of Taylor Swift just become like, and it just isn't stopping. Mm. It just won't stop. And his theory is that there's all it takes. She's written so many songs. She's released something like 10 albums, 12 albums, 13? I don't know.
Wasn't the last tour about all 10 albums? Wasn't that the idea?
I think it was.
I didn't watch.
Oh, no, but she's re-releasing. I don't know. I didn't watch it either. But 10. Let's just say 10. She's released these 10 albums. All these vault tracks, songs she's been on, other songs. She's written music for other people, right? And this guy's theory is it just takes one Taylor Swift song that you will connect with and you'll be like, that's the one. And then that one song, whatever it is, that you connect
unlocks
with
it.
Makes you go, I have to listen to her entire discography and I have to become invested in her life and who she is as a person and protect her at all costs. And I haven't found mine yet.
Ah, that's a cute
now,
way to put it.
Yeah, I think so. I like her. I did listen to the Midnight's album. I think we've had this conversation, but I did listen to...
I don't know.
To...
The Swift, if we had any more than four listeners, the Swifties would come for us, so be careful.
No. This is not a bad thing. I'm just... I haven't watched her Eras tour. I don't... I probably couldn't name 10 songs right now. Oh, yes, I could. I couldn't name 20 songs by Taylor Swift, like, right now.
I could.
Could you?
Nah, probably not. Maybe. Yeah.
But... I want to find my, I think it was a really, because people, like, her fame just keeps growing. More and more people are becoming Swifties, right? I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie, so where's my song?
I don't think you'll ever, I think you missed the boat.
No, I don't agree with you. I've got to send you this article.
No, I look, because I think that's an interesting theory. I'll read this article. I just think it's more like she's made a lot of. I get it. I guess this is probably what they were saying. She's made a lot of content, and and her lyrics are very broad. So one of them's going to hit.
But no, you made a really interesting point a few months back, last time we spoke about fucking Taylor Swift.
Talking Tay.
You said that the reason that you had
a podcast called Talking Tay.
Is that our next pod?
No.
Every episode we review a new song of hers. Oh, I'd hate that.
Oh, they'd come for us, the fans.
100%. You made a point a few months ago, and I've thought about it. You were like, the reason that you haven't necessarily connected with Taylor Swift is because you find that her lyrics are just so specific to one particular. And there was that lyric of "I'm just a monster on the hill, that's and I'm looking at like, whatever." Yeah. And you like that because, and that was the one that everyone else is like, "That's weird,
it's a little janky."
Yeah, and you really like that one. But otherwise, it's just like, I left a scarf at his house last week when I had dinner with his nan, and you're like, "That's I can't relate to that because I've never done that."
It's not that it's too specific; it's specific in the wrong places for me.
Mm.
I like lyrics. I like lyrics that are about very specific, maybe feelings, or no, very specific. And yeah.
Yeah, actually, this was about a month ago, maybe. I was listening to just random playlist, right? And this song came on, and I don't know what it was about this song, but I just like stopped in my tracks, like stopped walking and just like listened to this song and was like, oh my God, this song is incredible. And I shared it on Instagram and was like, everyone simply must listen to this song. And the amount of people that were just like, what the fuck? Why are you sharing this song? But because at that moment, at that time, that song just slapped me in the dick.
I get it.
And it's called I Don't Miss You by JP Sachs.
Okay.
And people were just like, that's just like a really basic shit song. And I was like, no, it's not. I don't know what it was about that song.
It is amazing how as you get older, you give less of a shit about like the context surrounding a song.
Oh. Braz does it's bloody Michelle Brazier podcast. We love her. Braz does a really good bit that she just released on TikTok actually recently. Everyone go follow Braz on TikTok. She did this really good bit.
Don't do the bit.
No, don't.
I don't want to give away her bit.
We say talk about bits all the time.
Yeah, but a friend's bit feels weird.
Go look at her TikTok and there's a really good bit about being not having to be cool.
Okay.
Or liking normal stuff.
Yeah.
Go find that bit.
I think the thing with – I think it's probably fine to have done Michelle's bit. I'm so sorry that I
No, it's fair. No, I'm glad you did because, like, go find that TikTok. It's really good.
I think that, like, with – yeah, we've talked about Taylor. We've covered Taylor.
Should we talk about Bloodline?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk about Bloodline after this ad break. But on the other end of this ad break, we're going to say a Taylor Swift song that we've never listened to in full.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we are back. I've got to look up Taylor Swift.
I have never listened to in full
that
10-minute version of the...
Oh, you should!
Whole song.
I've listened to that a bunch.
I watched an episode of the episode of SNL that she was on where she did it, so I guess it was in the background in full, but I didn't listen.
Okay, that's fair. I've never listened to Look What You Made Me Do.
In full?
In full.
That song. So I do have one more thing I want to say about Taylor Swift.
Of course you do.
I think that Taylor Swift, pop stars are always changing. Always like, you know how they reinvent themselves every album?
Yes.
It's like the pop star thing. Although that's starting to be broken. Billie Eilish has sort of stopped doing that. And Olivia Rodrigo sort of doesn't do it as much. Anyway, that's sort of going away a little bit. But Taylor Swift was always reinventing herself. And then I think the Look What You Made Me Do album
Reputation.
Reputation was a wonky one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, look what you made me
do. Oh, they're coming for you now.
I'm a snake now. Rawr.
They're coming for you.
Yeah, they're not listening.
No, they're coming for you.
So that one was a wonky one. I feel like she would say it was a bit wonky. And what she did next was very brilliant from a career point of view. She did the folk albums. She was like, I'm going to not try to be number one for a few albums. I'm going to pull back. Mm. And I think she still did huge numbers with those albums, but there was this sense of like, I'm going to get out of this slipstream that has killed Katy Perry, I'm going to get out of this slipstream. I'm going to go and do something like that is from a, like even if that seems to be more creatively driven. And then in three albums time, I'm going to step back into the pop world.
Yeah, great.
And I think that was a very clever move from her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whatever she's doing, I mean,
she's smart, man.
Yeah, I would say so.
She's smart.
Yeah. I think now she surrounds herself by very good people.
Very smart.
Smart.
People. She brought down Katy Perry.
You can bring down Katy Perry. Also, her current partner, who's this Travis Kelce guy, who's a footballer or some else shit. He's so attractive.
But did you hear the thing about how she went to a game where it was him versus the Jets?
No. What?
So she went to a game, right? Yeah. And there's a theory on TikTok. I feel like I'm doing a TikTok video.
Like we have a Taylor Swift podcast.
This is like a great TikTok video. I wish this was being filmed. But there is a theory on TikTok that I saw.
Yeah.
Which was the way that everyone found out that she was dating this guy is she went to a game where he played the Jets, right?
Yep.
So now when you Google Taylor Swift Jets or Taylor Swift Jet, the thing that comes up is photos of her at a football game.
Yeah.
Before that football game, what came up when you searched Taylor Swift Jet?
Something to do with a plane?
She was one of the highest users of like CO2 for her private jet of any celebrity, and it was like this little controversy that happened.
Oh, I love that. That is delicious.
Yeah, that's the theory. That's the going theory that like she'll do things.
Did she ever respond to that?
What?
About her private jet?
No, she just went to a Jets game. We're never going to think about it again.
Yeah. Well, at the most recent, like she was doing a show in Argentina and she changed the lyrics of the song midway through the song to, yeah, now I'm with the guy from the Chiefs, which is the team he plays for.
Wow.
While he was there, front and center on camera, and they're cheering at each other. And then she runs off afterwards and gives him a big kissy and hug on camera. And it's like, oh, bitch, this is just very juicy. She's just very good. She knows what she's doing.
She's the puppeteer, man. Now, I want to say, to be clear, I love that story. I'm not actually saying she did that.
Yeah.
Because don't come for me.
No, but that's a great story. I loved that. That's the kind of thing, if I'd seen that TikTok, I'd be deep in a 20-minute hole.
Yeah, it sent me down that hole,
At 30-second clips on it. All right. Let's talk Bloodline.
Okay.
This week we watched season 2, episode 8 of Netflix's Bloodline. What the fuck is going on? I don't know. I don't remember anyone. In a flashback, we see the small boy as he watches his dad deal drugs. In a separate flashback later on, we also see that same small boy set fire to the kitchen that his dad works in, presumably after the drug stuff, we're assuming. Now, that small boy is not emo, but then later becomes emo.
Yeah, it became emo somewhere.
But it took me 3 episodes into this season for me to realize that was the same kid.
My question is, did he become emo before season 1 or in season 1?
I don't know. We don't know. We've never watched the season. We didn't premise this at all. People know at this point that we...
If you have joined us in the last few mini podcasts, we are watching Johnny Depp. John Leguizamo.
What?
Who I just accidentally called Johnny Depp.
Okay.
I need to go to bed. John Leguizamo was in season 2 of this show.
Yep.
He only came in episode 3 of season 2. Oh,
that's right.
We have only watched those episodes.
Yeah.
So we have been piecing it together. I went on tour for 2 months.
Yep.
So we're back to square one a little bit. I'm sure you're about to say that, but
no, I wasn't.
We are trying to piece together.
Yeah. So please,
what's going on?
Keep in mind, not only have we not seen an entire season of this show that sets up the whole storyline of the season we're watching, but we also stopped halfway through the episodes we were watching so that Zach could tour.
We were close. I remember being close.
Yeah, I remember being close. We'll talk about that after the blurb. Yeah. So that's the situation that we're in right now. So small boy, dad, he sees his dad dealing drugs. His dad is the guy who's dead, who was murdered last season. We learned that.
And you might also know him from season 3 of Love My Way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, so that's all happened. Velma from Scooby-Doo is super paranoid that John Leguizamo's character, whose name is Oz, by the way, I forgot that, is going to cause big problems because he saw what happened at the motel with Kyle Chandler before Danny died. But I'm not exactly sure what happened at the motel, and maybe that's where Danny was killed, but I'm not sure because I never watched season 1 of this fucking show.
Mm.
It is revealed later in the episode that Velma actually knows John Leguizamo, and it was my favourite scene of the hour of the episode.
So was that a reveal?
I think so. It was certainly a reveal to us. I think it was a reveal because she's like, what are you doing here? And then, and the previous to that, she's just like, who is this guy to Kyle Chandler? So I don't think Kyle Chandler knows that she knows him.
Oh.
Yeah. Later on, she also offers Legs money to fuck off because he's clearly annoying her by being there. Mm. He's going to reveal something and she doesn't want him to, so she gives him an envelope of money. Mm. I'm guessing not enough. I think he's
also
sticking around.
Threatened his life.
Yes. She said, if you don't leave, you're in big, big trouble.
Big trouble.
Okay. What's going on with Sissy Spacek?
Mm-hmm.
All right. She sees a photo of the emo kid with some older blokes, and she says, oh my God, you knew my husband. But I thought the emo kid was her grandson, so of course he would know her husband. So what's going on there? She's like, oh my God, you knew my husband. He's like, yeah, I did. But that's his grandmother. So what the fuck?
I fully watch. Okay, keep going.
I reckon that question would have been answered very easily if we had watched season 1 of this show, which we didn't. I don't know who Miss Ortiz is. They're talking about a Miss Ortiz throughout this whole episode. No idea. John Leguizamo plays Oz and he has a very small ponytail in this episode. After this episode, the next thing on the list of Netflix after I searched Blood was Blood Diamond. So I watched that for a bit while I did some emails.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Can't really do movies while I do emails.
Yeah, well, I've seen Blood Diamond a couple of times before, so it was like background noise.
That's great. So here's my big thought.
Go, please.
This show is, clearly it was a one season show and they're trying to see if it has another season in it, which is a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in Plato's cave and I'm just seeing the shadows of a great show.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like trying to figure out the good show just from its shadows. The other thing I think is I'm currently watching a show, Mish. Do you know what show that is?
Star Trek.
Do you know which version?
New Generation.
No. I'm watching Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
Which is set at the same time period as Next Generation.
Yeah, all right.
But I'm not going to talk about Star Trek.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is I'm currently watching episodic television.
Okay.
I'm currently watching for the first time in a long time television that from time to time might have multi-episode arcs, but for the most part is a single self-contained episode.
Like NCIS.
Like NCIS or...
Law and Order SVU.
Or Star Trek The Original Series.
Yep.
Or Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, or NCIS Sydney.
I'm currently watching episodic television and I'm really having a bit of a moment where I'm really learning to love and appreciate the idea of telling a small story concisely. And what it's making me do, and I think I read something recently about this, which I thought was, but what it's making me do is it's making me appreciate that even in serialized storytelling, even when a story is, you know, told over many, many episodes, even when episodes are just chapters in a bigger story, I think television should still, for the most part, have strong episodes.
Yep.
Episodes should still have a strong...
Like Buffy.
like Buffy. But even going into Succession is a really good example of...
I haven't watched it.
But that's all right. But I'll tell you, because there's listeners that haven't watched it yet. But Succession is a really good example of every season is telling a story. You know, the whole thing is, it's very much episode follows episode, but every episode is about a single event. It's about a single thing. I think I've talked about this before as I say it. What this show is, I think, one of its issues, now I can't criticize it because I didn't watch season one, but something I feel sometimes with this show is it's right at that peak of serialized storytelling. It was made for Netflix, where episodes really mush.
Mm-hmm.
An episode really doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. It is just a chapter in a 10-hour story.
Yep.
And there are times where I'm like, I do wish that each episode had a little bit more form and a little bit more structure. And even if it was telling a bigger story, even if I didn't know what was going on because of season one, I do wish there was a bit more of an element of, this episode, this is happening.
I think that makes perfect sense. My issue with this season is my guess is, I haven't seen season one, but my guess is that season one was like a mystery, a thriller with a reveal, right?
Okay.
I'm guessing that a big part of season one was what happened to Danny and who did it to Danny, right?
Oh, okay.
Is my guess. That's great. That I like that. I hear what you're saying because I love television like the way you're talking about television.
This is more of a separate thing. It's not so much an issue with the season one, season two.
No.
It's just something I've observed.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
But go on.
My issue with season two is I don't think it is this kind of very long 10 hours of trying to cover up what was discovered last season. And it just feels a bit mushy. Like you
said,
like, it's just feeling a little bit like, but it is very, very hard to criticize a show that we've come into at the point in which we've come into it. I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Genuinely, is there anything that you are excited about in the next, because we've got two more, got 9 and 10. Is there anything that you're particularly excited about?
This probably of all the episodes, I can't really remember. At the end had me the most hooked.
Oh, okay.
So at the end, Coach from Friday Night Lights,
Kyle Chandler,
says to the cop, he kind of goes, so the cop is really close now and he's like, I'm starting to think something happened in that hotel.
Well, because the cop was Velma's ex.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm starting to think something. And he's starting to say things that as far as I can tell is he's very close to what the story is, which is now I believe Kyle Chandler helped the guy from Animal Kingdom kill someone. Then he drowned the guy from Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Because we saw him drown him.
Yes, we saw him drown him.
So I think something happened that not only is he responsible for the death of Thingy, I think he's also responsible for the death of someone at the hotel, but maybe not, maybe. Anyway, the point is the police officer is getting close.
Yep.
He's like, something's fishy here.
Yep.
Right? And Kyle Chandler is like, what are you talking about? I don't know, da-da-da. And then he turns and then he's like, you know what? I could fucking ruin your career because you covered up the domestic violence of your boss.
Mm.
And also, looks like you're just jealous of my sister. And it's like, I like a moment where a character's in a corner and then they get like a little bit like, actually, fuck you. Like, I like a turn.
Mm.
And I like that happened because it felt there was some crispness in the mush.
Yeah.
I was like, now, with only two episodes to go, I'm like, maybe this is firming up and this is a season about how he covers it up.
Mm.
I just think that...
As you were saying, yes. This is completely unrelated to Bloodline, but as you were just saying that, it just reminded me of a scene from a movie, that idea of like being backed into a corner and then just something happening that makes you go, oh! Movie called What's Love Got to Do With It?
Okay.
Tina Turner's story.
Oh.
Starring the wonderful Angela Bassett and Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
And a spoiler warning, It's also a spoiler warning for her life. Yeah. So, yeah. At the end, she's a single artist and she's incredible and she's left this abusive man behind, and Ike Turner rocks up to her change room with a gun. And he points the gun at her and he goes, what are you going to do now, Anna May? Which is Tina Turner's real name, Anna May Bullock. What are you going to do now, Anna May? Like, I can't hear you. Speak up. I can't hear you. And he's, because he's been this really intimidating presence in her life. It's so full on. It's that, the acting in that film, fuck me dead. It's so good. And he's like, what do you want to, do you have something? He's really calm, but he's scary. He's the same scary guy he was. And she just looks at him through the mirror and she, and he's like doing, and you're just like, oh my God, he's going to try and kill Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. And she just goes, is that supposed to scare me, Ike? And everyone just goes, oh, I'm assuming. And it's like, oh my God, the turn of like, now she's this fucking scary bitch because she has so much more than him.
Yeah.
And he has nothing, like he's nothing. So good. Anyway, that idea of like being back, like in
well,
film,
there's almost like
well.
A, that was a her going, I've got the power.
Yeah.
There's something to like, it's something very exciting in writing when it's like the goal doesn't change. Mm. He's still trying to get away with it. But there's almost like a, even if I did do it, I'll fucking destroy you. Mm. I love a turn. That, all that being said, there are so many shows out there about good men turn bad that it's got to be a really good one.
Yeah, I agree. I will also say of this show, my final thought.
Oh, we are nowhere near final thoughts.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, let's get, I could chat for longer. I haven't seen you for ages.
Yeah.
That's fine. Sorry, I thought we were stuck for time.
No.
So I will say, as much as like, and I've made it very, very clear in Bloodline-orama that I found.
Bloodline-orama.
Bloodline-orama.
Blam-a-lam. Bloodline-orama.
The Bloodline-orama.
Bloodline-orama.
is that I've found the whole process infuriating.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
I hate it.
Yeah, me too.
I am not enjoying myself. I'd like to make that very clear. I am doing this for the pod.
Mm.
This is for the pod.
Yeah.
But. There is some phenomenal acting in this. Now, I can't watch it from a perspective of, wow, that character's developed and I've really seen the arc, because I haven't. I've come into this at a ridiculous point. But I am watching it like a third-year arts acting student.
Yeah.
Who's trying to find scenes. You know what I mean? Oh, I need a scene. I've got a scene partner and I need to find a scene for this acting class. I'm going to take the scene of John Leguizamo talking about what he's going to do with the money when he has it with that bloke who was best mates with the dude from that show.
So something a lot of directors
That scene was
do.
Incredible. That scene where he was like, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to fucking live. I'm finally going to live.
Yeah.
And he's just having a ciggy off a fucking cliff face.
That's great.
God, John Leguizamo's a good actor.
He's a good actor. That's the thing. So some directors, the thing they do, I don't know, this sounds like, but the thing they do is they'll watch a movie with the sound off.
Yeah.
And they'll watch particularly their favorite scenes with the sound off because they don't want to be distracted by the story. They just want to see the shots. How did they? And I think there's something to this. This is like the writing equivalent where you, if you remove, and the acting equivalent, it's like there is something to the, I agree, it's not pleasant, but there is something to the process of when you remove context.
Mm.
It's really easy to get sucked into a story. So when you're watching TV like this, you're just sucked into the story and that's all you're watching. And there's something to, all right, I can't be sucked into the story because I have no fucking idea what's going on. So I am just going to watch this scene for, all right, how's the dialogue? How's the coverage? How are the shots? Like I'm noticing what I do and don't like about the coverage and the photography and I'm noticing more about the acting because I'm removed of context. I'm less likely to get sucked in and like, oh, shit.
Mm.
She didn't say that. He didn't say that. 100%. I'm much more likely to be like, oh, okay, that's interesting that they shot it like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of just watching it as a series of scenes squished together, to be honest with you.
I think I've said this before. I like that they wear gas station sunglasses.
Yeah.
And I like that it feels sweaty.
Does feel very
I like
sweaty.
The feel. I think they've captured the feel of it.
They've captured the feel of that little town very well. This kind of like little seaside town.
Yeah.
And it's not glamorous seaside. It's not mansions by the seaside.
No.
It's just little working fam.
I also love Velma. I think Velma's sick.
Yeah, she's good. Wasn't she fucking someone last episode?
She used to fuck the cop.
No, but did they fuck? That she no.
Yeah, she fucked him again.
The cop? I think she fucked a different guy.
I don't know.
She fucked a different guy last episode and was like, oh, no, I was used to be with the cop.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Neither do I.
I think she fucked the cop again. And then she was like, hey. Yeah, remember? That was a great episode. She was like, he was like on her. He was up in her grill. And then she, didn't she sleep with him? And then she was like, my family's real fucked up. And it was like, ooh, a different kind of power. A different kind of. She's more manipulative than she's letting on.
I thought it was someone really hot, like real hot.
The cop was hot, but I think it was the cop. I think that was a real moment. I don't know. What I remember is the last episode she had a cool scene. She had a cool couple of scenes.
We're also Nancy's about, and this is a big one. I'm interested to see what happens here. Sissy Spacek has asked Nancy being, that's not her name in the show. Andrea
Riceboro.
Yeah, from the movie Nancy.
Which you all know the movie Nancy.
Because...
The best movie that could lose a half hour from the top that I've ever seen.
We did an entire podcast episode on that film and I don't remember what it's about.
I do. I like it.
Oh, wait.
It.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Anyway, Sissy Spacek has asked Nancy and the emo kid to move in.
And Nancy, so Nancy.
Emo kid is Nancy and guy who drowned. From that third season of...
An Animal Kingdom. Aussie.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, and has had his own problems with drugs.
The emo kid is their son.
He always plays people that have had problems with drugs, and he himself has had problems with drugs.
There are some people that are always cast as the person who's on drugs. And always. Like, Giovanni Ribisi is one of them.
Giovanni Ribisi, which is ironic because he's a Scientologist, and I don't like taking drugs for your brain.
Really? Is he a Scientologist?
Yeah, second generation.
Oh, okay.
Born and raised. Try to give them more space. You can't help what you're born into.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, okay. Sorry for getting political there. Sorry to any Scientologists listening.
It's not, I've got it's no more wacky than some of the other ones.
Pretty wacky. Anyway,
all right, it is pretty fucking wacky.
Pretty fucking. No, you're all right. You're born and raised. You're all right. No, but I was gonna say about Ribisi,
who I love, by the way. We've talked about Ribisi a lot because Ribisi was in Meadowland.
Yeah. So Nancy had a kid with...
Had the emo kid.
With...
Which is odd because they look so close in age. But Nancy, the emo kid is Nancy's son that she had with Danny.
Who was in The Dark Knight Rises as a corrupt politician.
Didn't you say he was an Aussie?
Yeah, but he after Animal Kingdom did really well, he started doing well in the US.
Oh, cool.
He's in Animal Kingdom, and he was in Dark Knight Rises, and he has a line in it where he goes, can we get some girls in here? He's like, he's about to have a party. This is before Batman comes and like arrests him. He's like, can we get some girls in here?
Oh my God, I
here?
Remember that.
It's one of my favorite lines in cinematic history. Can we get some girls in here? Anyway, and he says that, and so he had a kid, but now she's with John Leguizamo.
In the show, yes.
And so she's probably like, oh, no, I want to stick around.
Yeah.
Velma's telling John to fuck off. This is some drama here.
Yes, that's right. And John Leguizamo basically says that he's like, oh, I'm in love with Nancy. Not that fond of the kid. The kid could fuck off. But I'm looking to settle down with Nancy.
This is what I mean, though, about, like, episodes and mushiness and everything.
Yeah.
So the fact that... The fact that John Leguizamo has been told you have to fuck off or else you might get killed.
Yes.
And the fact that she's getting offered to stay, she's getting offered a place to stay there and she's in a relationship with John Leguizamo. But the fact that she's in a relationship with John Leguizamo wasn't in this episode.
No, that was revealed to us in like the first John Leguizamo episode.
Right.
So... They want the money, so they want Danny's money. Danny's entitled to a certain portion of money, and Nancy's like, well, I had his kid, so we want the money. And I think John Leguizamo wants the money, and John Leguizamo is saying, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to reveal something that I know.
Right.
And I think that he knows that Kyle Chandler killed Danny.
Or at least suspects.
But now that Velma's involved, Velma from Scooby-Doo is involved... Yeah.
Any corruption that Coach can do, she can do it in heels.
Yep.
She's wearing heels all the time.
Yeah, she is. I think there's other things that he knows about the family. I want to know what the fuck. There you go. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's going on with Velma and John?
Yeah, that's great.
And by John, I mean John Leguizamo, not the character named John.
So the thing I was going to say was the fact that he's here to stay. He's in a relationship with her. She's told him to fuck off, but Nancy's just gotten an offer to stay. That's, I imagine, maybe like going to be a piece of drama in the next episode. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that those two scenes weren't like intercut or right next to each other, or like he didn't have a scene with her where he was like, hey, we've got to fuck off. And she, it's like, this is what I'm saying is it's like that people, the fact that that might happen in another episode is part of this thing of like, I just wish there was a bit more of episodicness.
Yeah, I
wish
I get
in
that.
An episode that things would happen, because they don't happen in an episode. And again, that's kind of our fault for taking a Netflix show that is designed to be binged and watching it over 7 months.
Yes. And by kind of our fault, do you mean it's our fault?
What I'm saying is any and every criticism I have leveled at this show has all been my fault. I'll put my hand up because you wanted to watch season one. My fault. Yep. Nothing I've said about this show is in any way validated by anything other than my own stupidity.
Yep. Mish. I'm happy to end it there.
Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Two more. I've got two more hours of this and then I'm done.
Not if you watch it at 1.5 speed. That's my final thought.
That's true. Yeah, so we've got two more episodes of Bloodline-O-Rama, and there are things I am excited for. Like, I want to know what the fuck is going on. And I do feel like we have unpacked it enough to have a general gist. I don't care who Mazortiz is. I don't care. They better not have something massive to do with the end of it. I couldn't take it in.
Is he in season three, Johnny Legs?
Yeah. Not all of them, though.
Okay.
I don't think.
Oh, that's almost worse.
We'll come back to it later.
Yeah, 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 God, yeah. We're hemorrhaging listeners.
What can Tom take us away with today?
Well, we're going to give it a Leguistano.
Oh, my God.
For that scene,
I loved that scene. Actually, I loved two of his scenes. He was in like four, and I loved two of them very much. And look at his pretty Johnny. Three.
I'm going to go 3.5.
I was close to doing that.
I think 3.5. I like the way he counted the cash in the envelope.
Yeah.
And then I just thought that was a nice touch.
Tiniest ponytail I have ever seen.
Yeah.
What should Tom take us away with?
I like da-da-da-da-da-da-da sort of music.
Yeah, all right. Why the fuck not? Is that a good enough brief, Tom? You got that? Great. We'll see you guys next week for our second last episode of season 2 Bloodline-O-Rama. We love you. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.